U.S. Senator John Bozeman. First of all, Senator, as always, appreciate you joining us. Good morning to you.
Well, thank you so much for having me today. It's good to be with you.
Well, let's talk about some of the issues. We'll get right into it this morning. I know you got a tight schedule as always, but of course, one of the things we talked about last time we had you on the program was an issue you guys were hoping that that you could get through and get the president's approval on, and that is the Keystone Pipeline. But of course, you know, here just recently, obviously it's been in the news that the president sort of shut it down for now. I know it probably wasn't a surprise to you that that happened, but give me your feelings right now, and where do we go from here on that, and why is it that you think that's so important?
Well, it's so important, not only to the state of Arkansas, but to the country, because one of the things that allows us to have a vibrant economy is you know, low gas prices. And we're seeing those inch back up. We're seeing what lots of supply does in the field of natural gas. It's tremendously driven the price down because we've got an 80 to 100-year supply. We've got a lot of supply of coal sands and things that, I'm sorry, oil sands that could be used like they're using in Canada. The plan is to bring that oil down the pipeline down to the Gulf Coast to the refineries. There's no reason not to do that. It's been studied for the last 4 years. Environmentally, it's sound. There's 50-some-odd of these types of pipes running underneath the state of Texas. We can do that in an environmentally sensitive way. It would immediately put tens of thousands of workers to work. We would not be dependent on countries like Saudi Arabia and Venezuela as much. We would get it from one of our most trusted allies, Canada. A lot of the money that we send to them would come back because they're such great trading partners. So there's all kinds of reasons. In Arkansas, we will be, building much of the pipeline itself in Little Rock. They've had to lay off workers because of the uncertainty. I was in Nucor last week, and again, that's a great facility we can be very proud of. But they would build much. They would take and create much of the steel that would go into the pipeline and the equipment. So it's hurting the state of Arkansas directly.
How about that? For his excuses as far as the environmental studies and things like that, and when I say he, I mean President Obama. Are those actual reasons, or is there more to it? Is the reason he shut kind of went against what you guys wanted?
They are not actual reasons. Everyone's for this, even the unions. In fact, they're very much for it because they understand these are great jobs. The only reason that he's done this is just playing to the fringe environmentalist that supported him and really contributed a great deal to his campaign fund the last go-round. What he wanted to do was actually put off the decision until after the election. This forced him to make a decision now, so at least the public can see where he's at on this. But there is absolutely no reason not to do this. And my concern, you know, we're seeing gas prices inch up. And as they inch up, you get up around $3.50 a gallon, and it just changes the behavior. At $4 a gallon, it shuts down the economy. So, again, what does that do to single moms and people on fixed incomes? And we drive so much in Arkansas, it really is a really significant factor to the economy.
Yeah, when you're in a rural state, and, you know, again, and I know a lot of companies have gone out of business since the price of gas has gone up so much, but, really, these companies that run trucks and stuff on these highways, I don't see how they stay in business. And, of course, the way they do is they have to pass that cost on down to the consumer.
Well, they do. And then the consumer, you know, we're all two wage earner families. If you take, $20 out of each one of our pockets every week and put it in the gas pump, there's no disposable income left. Things are very difficult right now. It's tough. And so then you don't, you're not stopping at the cafe and buying the lunch. You're tightening up. You're not spending. And so then, when you're not spending, then businesses do fail because they don't have the business that they need to support it. So it really is it's a critical thing, and we need to work really hard. We're the only country in the world that doesn't use the natural resources that we have.
Yeah.
And, if it's wind or solar or nuclear or oil or gas. All of these things need to be done in a responsible way. But we could become energy independent and not be sending hundreds of billions of dollars overseas. It's the biggest transfer of wealth ever. If we could keep that money at home, imagine what that would do for our economy and our country.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And, you know, of course, you had a lot of environmental concerns when they were building the Alaska pipeline, and some about wildlife. And actually, they say the pipeline is in some ways spawned or spurred wildlife in that area.
It has, and I've had the opportunity to be up there and see it. But the because of the warmth of the pipeline compared to everything else, the animals calve in that area, and the herds are stronger than ever. Their numbers are up tremendously.
Yeah, sort of like sinking a old battleship or something to create a reef in the ocean. You know?
No, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
That's a good analogy.
Well, let's move on to something else. Let's talk about, and again, we'll sort of stay on President Obama at the moment, because, and we'll talk a little bit here in a moment about the State of the Union address, which is coming up tonight. But, of course, another issue was the recess appointments. And as you guys were on break, President Obama made a number of nominations. And tell me your feelings on that.
Well, I think it was wrong, and most constitutional scholars that I've talked to agree with that. This is what's called a pro forma session, and, their argument is, well, you know, they're really not doing anything, and, it's just in name only. During the pro forma session, you remember when things got kind of messed up at the end of the year with the extension of the, the tax. We actually fixed that problem and kept the Social Security, withholding lower during a pro forma session. So it does have power. It does have ability to conduct business. And most constitutional scholars say that you have to have 3 days of inactivity, 3 days of not being in session. And this simply did not occur during this period. So I think it's going to go to court. I think it's wrong. And I think it's one of those things, we have to be careful. The president's attitude is almost that the end justifies the means. That's not true. We're a nation of laws. We need to keep the rules. And so this is another thing, I think, that just makes it such that the public loses confidence in us, loses confidence in the institution.
Why do you think he made those nominations? Of course, the key one was Richard Cordray as director of the new Consumer Financial Protection Board, but then also he also appointed 2 people to the National Labor Relations Board. Why do you think that he did it in that manner?
Well, he was desperate to get people appointed. The Consumer Financial Bureau, the individual is not necessarily bad, but the whole institution, this new program, is bad. And it has no oversight. It gets its money from the Federal Reserve. Congress has no oversight. No one has any oversight. And yet they're given tremendous responsibilities, tremendous authority over the lending institutions and the non-lending institutions that have to do with finance. So, we were blocking the nomination in an effort to get concessions so that we could have some, authority, some oversight in the future. On the other two, the National Labor Relations Board, this is the board that said that Boeing out in Washington could not open their new plant in South Carolina because they were in a non-right-to-work state and were, opening a plant in a right-to-work state, and it might take jobs away.
Yeah.
That's not the America that we know. They've pushed very, very hard. They're trying to pander to the unions in a way and make it very, very easy to unionize. And again, all of this, and unfairly, make it easy to shift away in the union direction. All of this is just payback to the unions by the Obama administration.
What about the Consumer Financial Protection Board? And I do have to say that names of things like that, especially when it comes from government, always bother me because it's sort of like the People's Republic of China. It's not really the people's.
That's anything. A good point.
But what is the Consumer Financial Protection Board?
Well, this is a board that was created to oversee all kinds of financial products, everything from layaway to this and that. It's got tremendous power, a huge budget, and there'll be, you know, literally tens of thousands of pages of regulations written by this group. After the meltdown in 08, the Dodd-Frank law was passed, and it was passed to keep these institutions that were too big to fail, you know, to chop them up, or we wouldn't go through this again. More regulation for those that caused the problem. Well, what happened was Dodd-Frank does very little in that regard, but it regulates community banks dramatically. And so all of this increased regulation, what it does is drive up cost through compliance, and then that's less money to loan. I would argue that the backbone of America is small business, but the backbone of small business is the community bank.
Yeah, okay. Well, moving on again, we've got the State of the Union address coming up. What do you want to hear from the president?
Well, it'll be interesting to hear, you know, what he does say. I think he'll talk about our domestic problems, and certainly we've got some challenges in that area. He'll talk hopefully about dealing with the debt and the deficit, putting people to work. We've got a lot of things going on in Europe with their financial problems in the Middle East. So there's a lot to talk about. I hope that it's not just talk, though. And again, I'm not being critical in this, but when you look at what was said last year and then what was actually done, little was accomplished. So we need to work together. We need to solve the problems of the country.
What do you think? What do you think's on the agenda?
In regard to the speech, I'm really not sure. I think he'll probably throw out some ways to stimulate the economy. But right now, I don't know that anybody's really sure exactly what he is going to say.
Because I kind of wonder. Of course, it's an election year, so kind of wondering what might be said. And speaking of that election year, what do you think about as far as your own party goes, Republican Party?
Well, I think in regard to the speech tonight, I think a lot of that will be electioneering, you know, because it is an election year. The Republican primary has just been, there's going to be books written about this for decades. It's one guy's up one day. And
yeah.
I think the turnaround in South Carolina where you had, Romney doing well up, Gingrich behind, and then all of a sudden, you know, literally within 72 hours, Gingrich winning with a wide margin, you know, is probably a unique thing in politics. But right now, it's up for grabs, and so we'll just have to see what happens.
You still holding off on picking somebody?
I am, and I'm grateful. You know, this thing is, you know, there's been every one of everybody's in it, I think, has been a front runner at one time or another. So, yeah, I'm really, you know, I know these people well. I have a lot of respect for all of them. So I'm just kind of hanging out and just kind of seeing what happens.
A couple other quick issues I want to bring up before we run out of time here is first of all, it was announced that some USDA offices were going to close, in fact, including one that's in our listening area here in Bradley County. Tell me a little bit about that issue and what kinds of things, if anything, that you're working on with that.
We're working hard on this. We're working with the rest of the delegation in finding out exactly what the process was that was used to determine what needed to be closed and what didn't, make sure that there's a fairness aspect. And then we're looking, getting information from the different areas of Arkansas where we are affected, and then going back and presenting the case as to why the offices are viable. In many cases that there should be reconsideration. So I think that's the main thing is to make sure these things are, everybody's going to take a haircut, but it has to be done in a fair manner. And I'm really concerned about our agricultural community. We've lost a lot of our manufacturing. We've gotten ourselves in a situation where we're dependent on foreign energy. The last thing in the world we need to get ourselves in is dependent on food. And you say that can't happen, but it very definitely can. So not only that, but as you look at the population numbers and stuff, America is, and we can be so proud of this, America has fed the world. And we're going to have to work really hard to feed a much larger population in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. I know that you've been in the state and visiting a number of counties, and what have you been hearing?
Well, I think, you know, right at the top of the list, people are concerned. They want us to work together. The Arkansas delegation, I think, does a good job in doing that. I wish that Congress would do as good a job. We don't always agree at the national level, but when it comes to the state, the delegation really does work well. I think that the major thing, jobs, 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 the economy, is what is on everybody's mind. And I think it's difficult to get ourselves in a situation where we're going to see a lot of job increase until we get some certainty. Right now, the people that are hiring people, they don't know what their energy costs are going to be. They don't know what their taxes are going to be in the future. Great concern about the mandates that are going to come down on business through Obamacare, rising the cost of health care. So, you take all of these things, regulation, tremendous regulation coming down, all of these things increase cost. As we mentioned with the Dodd-Frank bill on the bankers, all of the regulation on the farmers, and the list goes on and on. But because of the uncertainty, they're reluctant to hire. Individuals, because of their uncertainty in their personal life, hoping that they'll have a job in the future, they're cutting back also. And so I think all of these things together are making it such that it's difficult on business right now.
Yeah. Well, what about now, between now and the election, what kinds of things are we going to be hearing from Washington, do you think?
Well, I think generally during election year, you don't hear as much as normal,
right,
in the sense that, it's a little bit more difficult to get done. We have the federal aviation bill. I think that's going to get passed and get done, so that's a positive. We'll be doing that shortly. There's a number of reauthorizations like that, again, there's lots of agreement on both sides. So hopefully we can figure out the 80% of things that we're in agreement on and get that done, and then we'll worry about the 20% later on.
All right. Well, as always, Senator, love to have you on the program. We certainly appreciate your time, as always, about every month we visit with you, and we certainly appreciate that, and keeping folks updated on what's going on in Washington, D.C. And, I know you visited some dozen counties or so around Arkansas here in the last month or so, and I know that when you get down this way eventually, we certainly want to have you live in studio if we can, and have you here in Dallas County.
I would love to do that. I hope you could hear me okay. I'm developing a little bit of a cold. But anyway, I would love to do it. I'll bring some donuts
Sounds good.
We'll visit.
I don't know how you don't keep a perennial cold shaking hands with folks all the time like you guys do.
Well, I think what's got me, I don't know if it's I think it's these weather changes.
Anything.
One day it's 30 degrees, the next day it's 60.
Of course, we had a tornado here, Sunday night.
Yes.
Here in Fordyce. So we were just really, really lucky that nobody was injured, but caused a little bit of damage. But anyway, we were really, really lucky that just a little bit north of town, and while it did tear up some houses and some buildings, just a couple of minor injuries, and that's about it. And looking at the devastation, I just can't imagine that nobody was more seriously hurt, but thank goodness they weren't. So anyway, hey, appreciate it as always, Senator.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely.